We're going to read in Ephesians chapter 2. I want to talk to you about your connection to God and to Jesus. Different people have different ways of relating to God and to Jesus. Some people will say, you know, I know about him. But that's not really a personal relationship. Other people will say, I respect him or I admire him. But even that is not a personal relationship. What I want to talk to you about is your connection, your relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about four possible ways to be related with God and Jesus. And we're going to read this scripture in Ephesians 2. So you got to understand that Paul had spent a fair bit of time in Ephesus, preaching the gospel. And lots of people came to God and trusted Jesus as their Savior and Messiah. And he was writing to this group of people in this area. And, of course, many of them were not Jewish people, but they were Gentiles, and they had been brought into the family of God. And so he's writing particularly to these ones in this section. Take a look. Ephesians 2 and 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcision by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were without Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So you got to understand that the Jewish people in the Old Testament, they were really blessed by God. God chose them as his people and brought them close to him. But these people, these Gentile folks, they didn't have that position of closeness. And so Paul was saying, you know, you used to be on the outside, but now you've been brought onto the inside. So I'm going to just, now don't worry about that. I speak Chinese as well as English. So when I speak back in Toronto, that's why the Chinese is on here. I don't see many of my Chinese friends here, so I won't be referencing that. But I want you to see the first way that people are related to God and to Jesus. It says in this verse that people are without God. Now, in order to understand this, we need to go back and do a little history lesson, what it means to be without God. Because way back in the beginning, all that there was God. That's how the Bible starts. In the beginning, God. Nothing else. There was no world, no people, just God. And I put him on this slide. There's going to be a diagram here that's going to help you understand this. I put him as a circle because he's perfect. Never does anything wrong. Never any imbalance in his character. He's absolutely perfect, and that's all there was. There was God. But one of the first things that God did after he made the world was the Bible says that he made human beings. The way the Bible describes this is it says that God made humankind in his image. Now, this is very interesting because what this means is that you and I are in some senses like God, right? We're not God. But there's certain correspondence, certain way that we're like God. And let me just help you understand how we're like God. There's so many ways we can think about it. You think about how that God thinks. He has a mind and he has emotions. He loves and he rejoices and he hates some things and he gets sad when things go bad. And all of this is just kind of a little blueprint that you and I, we think and we have emotions and we're like God. Now, he's infinitely more powerful, he's bigger, but we are made in his image. So that's why I put you and me as sort of the small circle. And this is the picture way back at the beginning. We were made in God's image. But here's the point. The next thing that happened in the history of the world is, just watch this diagram here. You may remember the story of the first people in the world called Adam at that time, later called Adam and Eve, the male and the female. And they had been planted in this beautiful garden and given one command that was going to test their obedience of God. And they said, God said, don't eat this one tree, this fruit from this one tree in the center of the garden. But of course, you know the story that male and female, they turned against God. The female listened to the sneakiness of the snake, and the man fully rebelled. And the Bible describes this as sin coming into the world. It was a rebellion whereby the human race turned against God and said, I know what you've told us, but I'm not going to do it. Some people call it the fall. I call it the rebellion. But it was really what happened back then is what's happened in many times in history when you and I know what's right and we do what's wrong. We turn against God. And the Bible calls that sin. And in that moment, a number of things happened. The first thing you can see on this diagram is that our location changed. The Bible puts it this way. The Bible says that our sins separate us from God. It's almost like there's this alien force, this alien kidnapper that has come in and taken us away from God. And that kidnapper is our rebellion. So we have become... But not only has our location changed, we have changed. You'll notice that we've gone from a circle to a square. Because the Bible says that when we sin against God, it's not just that we're not connected to Him, we're not related to Him, but in our hearts we have changed. We're afraid of Him. We're ashamed of being around Him. In our hearts there is this rebellion. And so this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is the reason, the story, the backstory behind us being without God. There's a distance. There's a separation. People ask why this world is in such a mess and how God could allow it. But the funny thing is that people have put God out of their life. And they don't want to talk to God and listen to God. And this is what this passage is talking about. We're without God in this world. And it's the most horrible thing in the world to be separated from our heavenly Creator. But not only are we without God, this passage says we are without Christ. And God and Christ go together, right? Because Jesus Christ is the Son of the eternal God. And so to be without God is to be without Christ. Do you know what? Without money, you can't go on expensive holidays. Without some sort of training or education, you maybe can't land that job that you want to get. But without Jesus, you can't be in God's kingdom. So this is our problem. We're without God. We're without Christ. And we are also without hope. That's the third thing that this passage says. I'm so glad to tell you that the gospel message, the good news, is the message of how people can become reconnected with God. Reconnected with Christ. And thereby, we can get hope. That's what I want to talk to you about here today. But you know, the next thing I want to show you, we read here not just that we are without God, without Christ, without hope, but then verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So if the first way that all of us can be connected with Christ is a disconnection, a lack of relationship, estranged from God, the second way that we can be connected with God is to be in Christ. And so I want you to take a look at this scripture. Here's a scripture, and it says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Let me show you how this works. Watch this carefully. You see, this is how the story goes. God is perfect. He's in heaven. We have a barrier of sin between us and God, and we are down here estranged from God. How are we going to be put into God and into Jesus Christ? Well, watch what God did. The first thing that God did was that God came down here in the person of Jesus Christ. He came here to live as a perfect man, and he lived a perfect life to show us just what God had expected. But you see, as I've described this problem that we have with you, I've been at such pains to define the problem. The problem that we all have is a problem of sin, rebellion. We can't get through to God because our sins are between us and God. And what I want to show you is that salvation is the resolution of that problem. Sin and Satan had kidnapped us away from God. Salvation is the way by which God comes in and he defeats Satan and he removes the problem of sin and he rescues us. He brings us back to God. How did he do it? Well, the way by which God built a pathway from us back to God, you can see it on the picture there. It was a cross. And on that cross, Jesus took on the cross beam all of our sins. And he died for those sins. And he built a pathway back to God. He paid the price of our sin. You know, there's a great story of somebody being set free who was in bondage. It's a man, it's a Canadian story. The man's name is Norbert Reinhardt. Back when this happened in 1998, he was 49. He's the owner of a drilling company, Terramundo Drilling, from out west. And they were down in Colombia, drilling. And his worker, Ed Leonard, got captured by a revolutionary armed guard down there. He was captured for 107 days, but was eventually released October 6, 1998. And you know how his release went? It's a really amazing story. Reinhardt, his boss, flew down to Colombia, helicoptered out to the clearing where the revolutionary forces were, and along with him, he had $100,000. He transferred the money over to the captors, but that wasn't enough. Reinhardt, Norbert Reinhardt, didn't just pay the money to set Ed Leonard free. He had to take his place. Ed Leonard flew home to his family. Norbert Reinhardt stayed. Reinhardt said to his worker as he was leaving, he said, "Your shift is over. It's time for you to go home." Leonard was interviewed when he got home, and his words were very telling. He said, "I am very grateful that Reinhardt traded places with me on that mountain. I wanted to be out, but I didn't want anyone to take my place. It's quite a thing." Reinhardt was there for another few months until January 9th, 1999. A further $70,000 was paid, and then he was allowed to leave. But I thought of Ed Leonard leaving, being put free, set free, because somebody took his place, paid the price. That's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the price of our sin. He took our place. Song says it well. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Do you know what happened when Jesus died on that cross? Let me show you what happened. This is what happens. Watch this picture. God says, "I've taken care of the problem of your sin. I've built the pathway back from you and your sin to God. And now all you need to do is receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Messiah." And what happens the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is that God places you into Christ. That's what he says here in our verse. Remember, you used to be without Christ, but now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And when as a 13-year-old, I realized that Jesus died for me and I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior, God took me from my sin and put me into Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you what it means to be in Christ. What does it mean? Because if you were to accept, you know, to become part of God's family and to receive your salvation, it's something that you could receive right here today. It's not a complex process. And I want to describe for you, if you trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord right now, what would happen? The first thing that I want to tell you is that God will give you righteousness. Look at this verse. This verse says, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. That's the cross. At the cross, Jesus was punished for our sins. God treated him as a sinner. Why? So that in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. God says, I treated my son like a sinner at the cross. I punished him for your sins. And the purpose was that I could treat you as if you're perfectly righteous. Do you know the way I sometimes explain this? To be dramatic, because I have a bit of dramatic flair in me. Did you know that you're looking at a perfect man? Do you know that, Caleb? I'm a perfect man. Now here's the interesting thing. Caleb's looking at me kind of quizzical. You're laughing. Most of my friends would laugh even louder. They'd say he's out of his mind because they know that I have lots of sins. And if you asked my wife, well, she would also say that I have a lot of flaws. So what do I mean when I say that I'm a perfect man? I'm not talking what Caleb and you see in me or what my friends see in me or what my wife sees in me. She also sees lots of good things. But I'm telling you what God sees. And when God looks at me, he doesn't see my flaws. He sees me in Christ, perfectly righteous. And that's God's gift to you. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become the righteousness of God. But not just that, we get closeness. This is our verse that we read in our passage, that in Christ we have a close relationship with God. We're not far away from God now. We are close to Him. And I encourage you, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ here today, one of the first actions of your Christian life, I would encourage you, just lift your heart to God and say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. Because what you'll find is at the beginning of your Christian life, you may not feel close to God, even though according to God's word, you are close. The way you develop those feelings of closeness is like any relationship. Just talk to God. Get to know Him. Read His word. Speak to Him in prayer. Share your burdens. And you will begin to appreciate and understand the closeness that you have with God in Jesus Christ. But in Christ, we have righteousness. In Christ, we have closeness. In Christ, I love this one. In Christ, we have security. Here's this verse in Romans 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God pledges Himself to you forever. He promises. He says, I'll hold on to you and I'll hold you tight forever. It's a special relationship that will never dissolve. The way I've sometimes explained it is that these papers here, if I put them inside this book, this Bible, wherever I mail this book in the world, Australia, Russia, Costa Rica, South Africa, wherever I mail this Bible, the papers will go too, right? Because the papers are in the book. That's what it means to be in Christ. The only way that I could ever end up in hell is if Jesus could go to hell. Because I'm in Christ. I am as safe as Jesus. Oh, it's wonderful to be able to rest in the love of God and to know that I am safe. And the last thing that being in Christ brings is it brings satisfaction, joy in our life down here through all of life's sorrows, and at the end of life to live forever with God. But let me just finish this off. We'll be done in a couple of minutes. In Christ, I want you don't have to turn to this. These scriptures are on the screen. We've talked about being without Christ, estranged from Christ. Some of you may be in that position. We've talked about being in Christ, accepting Him as your Savior, and in Christ having righteousness and closeness to God and security and satisfaction. But the next way to be related to Christ is one day, those of us who have believed on Jesus will be with Christ. Paul says it in Philippians 1:23. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Here's the picture. Christ in heaven, and you with Christ. If I were to die right here today, let's say I had a heart attack, my body fell to the ground, before you could get up here and check my pulse, I would be with Christ. That's what this is saying. That we who are Christians, we have a Messiah, we have a King who loves us. And at the moment of our death, we will go to be with Him. And that is far better. This gives me wonderful confidence. I don't want to die. But I know that if my turn comes, I'm not afraid of what's happening afterwards. I will be with Christ. But you know, the story doesn't even end there. It gets better still. And the last part of the story is not just to be without Christ, in Christ, with Christ, but also one day like Christ. Here's what John says in the Bible. We know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So take a look at the picture. In the last phase, you went to be with Christ, but you're still a square. And God doesn't want you to be a square forever. He is determined if you trust in Jesus, you will one day become like Jesus forever. No more warts on your character. No more frustrating Achilles heels. It'll all be transformed. Perfectly like Christ and like Christ forever. So this is the gospel. The plan of the gospel is to take sinners like me and like you, to put them into Christ and to bring them to be with Christ and to make them like Christ forever. We'd just like to invite you, if you've never taken the first step of the journey, to accept Christ, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. Why not today? Why not accept what He's done for you? Why not come clean with Him as a sinner and just say, Lord Jesus, I trust You for dying for me on the cross. And from this day forward, my life is in Your hands. That's how people become connected with Jesus Christ. May God bless His word. Let's pray.